Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find the full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Hello, I'm Baylen Leonard, and welcome along to the Country Music Talk podcast. This is where you get to hear the biggest names in country music talking about their lives and careers and sharing some of their stories from Music City. We're in for a real treat with this episode because I'm joined by an artist who was born and raised in North Carolina before moving to Nashville to follow his dream of becoming a country music star. And boy, oh boy, did he ever. Luke Combs is quite simply one of the biggest country stars in the world right now, a hugely successful singer, songwriter, a 6-time CMA award winner, Grammy nominee, and the first artist in history to simultaneously top all 5 Billboard country charts for multiple weeks. And he's also a really great guy, down to earth, passionate about songwriting and making music, and he's a guy with a real love of performing. So we sat down over Zoom with Luke in Nashville, me in London, to talk about so much good stuff. Whether it's the first job that he had, his friendship with Ed Sheeran, what type of dad he wants to be, or quite simply his love of a full English breakfast. It's all here. And it was also a chance to catch up ahead of C2C Festival here in the UK, which is coming soon. We recorded this interview in early February and we had such a good time. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get on with the podcast.
We play country and we talk country.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
It's Absolute Radio Country. I'm Baylen Leonard. So pleased to welcome to the show Mr. Luke Combs. Good to see you again, Luke. How are you?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. So I was just thinking, when you played C2C the last time, the full C2C, I guess that was 2018, wasn't it? Luke, you were a pretty big deal then, but my lordy at stuff that's happened since then.
Yeah, man. 2018, that's... lots happened since then, man. Crazy, crazy couple of years. A lot of fun, a lot of great shows, a lot of cool accomplishments, man. And just enjoying it, taking it day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all you can do, really, because otherwise it just becomes a bit too big to consider. When we met all those years ago, we kind of talked about, I'm originally from East Tennessee and you're a small town boy as well. And, you know, look, I'm not Luke Combs, but I still get blown away that I can sit in London or I can go to, you know, different parts of the world that I never thought I would go to. And you must feel that as well still, that your music and your art literally can take you around the world. Does it still blow your mind a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely does, man. You know, it's crazy. You know, you end up in all these places that you never thought you'd be, like you're saying, man. I mean, I'd never been on an airplane in 2015, you know, right. I never even flown before, you know, and now it's like we've been to Europe 3-4 times and, know, we've been to Australia twice and been to Canada a bunch of times and all over the United States, played in every state and, you know, played in Mexico and just, it's just wild, man. Yeah.
And, you know, not just to be able to see those places, but actually, I mean, you're going there, you're standing up in front of thousands of people and they're singing along to every single word that you wrote. That's like a whole other level of seeing the world, I would imagine.
Definitely, man. You know, I mean, you're going out and not only, you know, you're getting paid to do it, you know, you feel like you'd probably do for free anyways, you know, which is really cool. And, you know, getting to do it with people you like, you know, and go on trips with your songwriter buddies and, you know, their wives and your wife. And it's like, you know, that's cool, man. You know, I mean, not everybody gets to do that, man. Go on these killer trips and something I'll never take for granted.
And, you know, talking about there, it's something that you would do for free anyway. I mean, that's kind of the theme of your latest song, doing this in some sort of way, that because I saw you were saying, you know, whether it's 70 people or whether it's 70,000 people. And of course, you know, it's in the song as well. This is what you would be doing. Like,
yeah, man. I mean, you know, I love, you know, singing and writing songs. It's just fun to me. Playing shows especially is something that I really enjoy and, you know, gives me an opportunity to get out of my own head a little bit. Have fun doing that, man. You know, it's just something I've always been kind of good at. It's fun to be good at something. You know, I think everybody knows that, you know, whether it's, you know, something you do in your spare time or something you do for a living, you know, it's fun to feel like you're good at something. And, you know, while you're doing that, you're just kind of enjoying it. You know, it just kind of flows naturally, man, when you're doing that.
Yeah. And you can tell that as well, you know, having seen you at CTC in 2018, and of course you're coming back to do CTC. Now, I know you wouldn't be doing anything other than what you're doing. The song says it very clearly. We just talked about it. But did you have any rubbish jobs before you were like, oh, this is the thing I'm good at? You know, everybody had to make ends meet at some point. You must have had to do that.
Yeah, man, I had a bunch of jobs, you know. My first job was at a place in my hometown that was, it's kind of like a, do you know what Chuck E. Cheese is?
Oh, I know what Chuck E. Cheese is. Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but like way bigger. It had like go-karts and laser tag, and I worked there a couple of times. I actually did two different stints in that joint, but I worked there in high school and then a little bit like one summer after college worked there again, and it was killer, dude. I mean, you know, it wasn't the best job in the world, but it was, you know, it wasn't pouring asphalt or anything. But I worked at Home Depot, worked at U-Haul,
right?
Was a bouncer for a while at a bar.
I could see that.
A bunch of different stuff, man. Just whatever I could, you know, try to make a living, I guess.
Yeah, pay the bills.
You do what you do. You do what you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you said it wasn't a Chuck E. Cheese, but, you know, the thing I always remember about Chuck E. Cheese, for people in the UK that don't know, Chuck E. Cheese is like a themed restaurant with animatronic, life-size characters that, while you ate pizza or whatever, they sang and danced. Did your place have, because if I know people who worked at Chuck E. Cheese and there were songs that they had to hear about 15 times a shift, did you have that same thing?
Mine was like, there wasn't any music as much as it was like, I mean, it was full of arcade games. I mean, they're like hundreds.
That's loud.
And so there's like these certain games, you know, like if you were working, you know, bumper cars, you were near these like 10 games, right? And they always made the same sound effects for like hours and hours, you know. And so depending on what station you were at, you would hear, you know, bells and ringing and little songs and like sound effects and like car racing sounds, and like it would just be like, and those are, I mean, that's like a, we're talking a 5-minute loop here, dude. This isn't, yeah, it's not like a playlist that's 5 hours long. And if you work 10 hours, you hear everything twice. I mean, it's like you're hearing these every 2 or 3 minutes. You're hearing the same thing like over and over and over again.
And I bet you're hearing that when you get home as well. It probably takes a minute for that to stop. Dude,
yeah. Well, because it's like that place was so big. When I was in high school, man, it was new.
Right.
And it was like a huge, I mean, it was huge.
Right.
And so it was like everybody on the weekends and stuff, man, like,
The best gig was
it was so packed that they had like another parking lot that was kind of like that off-site-ish kind of thing.
The overflow parking
lot. The best gig was working parking on Saturdays if you could get that gig. It was like you and your buddy, like you'd essentially just like sit in a chair and you'd be like, hey, how many spots are up top? And they'd be like two. And then so the next two cars you'd tell to go up. And every car that came in, you just say, oh, we'll just park down here. And that was like, you didn't have to like really deal with anybody or
Yeah, that sounds like the job. Did people fight for that job? I want that job tonight.
Definitely, definitely. That was like, because like the toughest job was like probably like, I mean, go-karts was tough because that was the most popular thing.
Yeah.
That we had indoor and outdoor go-karts. So indoor is electric, outdoor was gas. And so like you had to know how to fix like two different kinds of go-karts.
This place sounds huge. I need to check it out. Is it still around? Because I need to check it out when I'm back.
Went out of business like maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, right. Okay.
A year ago or something like that.
Hey, speaking of jobs that people don't like, did I read a story about, is it somebody on your team that you met at a store somewhere who wasn't liking their job, but you guys got to talking and then you, was it something like you hired him to work with you? What's that story?
It's my tour manager, Ethan. He was working at a Boot Barn in the mall.
Right.
In Nashville. And this was after I had released Hurricane,
but okay.
Way before I didn't have a record deal or anything like that. And me and my manager, Cappy, went in there. I just needed some boots and was talking to him, and he was super nice and was like, oh, I like your song and stuff. And he was, he's probably 2-3 years younger than me, maybe, or something like that. So he's probably 28, but then he was probably 24, something like that. And he was like, oh man, you know, I moved to town to be I want to be a tour manager. And I kind of, I work for another artist, like assistant tour manager, like whenever they need somebody, and I work here. And then his boss came up and was like, oh, you know, don't go stealing my best employee kind of thing. And so of course I did when she said that, because it was like, you should have told me he was terrible or something, you know?
Yeah.
But man, no, he's been working for me ever since, man. I mean, going from, you know, riding around in the van, and, you know, now he's tour managing a, giant 360 arena tours at, 28, 29 years old, but he's really great at what he does, man. And
that's, I guess that's all about, if you hate the job you've got and you're doing it well.
Yeah.
If you hate the job you have and you're good at it, that says something about your character, about your work ethic, you know what I mean? And I have a few guys like that are, that were guys that were doing something else, and they were still really great at what they did. And they, once you give them a job that they like, they're even better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess also for you, that's probably one great way for you to help, just keep your feet on the ground in some sort of way, because we all know how this industry works, and it'd be very easy to get carried away with loads of things. I mean, I could read your accolades and it would take up this entire interview just because, you've got all the awards, all the accolades, all the albums, and long may that stuff continue. But we've seen it time and again, it's quite easy to get wrapped up in that stuff. So it's probably, from your perspective, quite nice to not only have people on your team, but people around you that have been there with you all along.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, and it's people that are willing to, challenge your ideas, and, people who are willing to stand up to you, I think is important, and having people that have been around for as long as some of my guys have been around, that's something that those guys are willing to do, is to say, they're willing to fight for what they think's right, or, if they think that I'm doing something, whether it's in the show or, in a song, like they're willing to say, hey man, I don't really know if that's it, or if this is the right look, or if, not everything that I say is always right. And I think sometimes that can be a challenge for some artists, is that, if you have a team that's constantly, a revolving door, and people are always afraid of, losing their job or speaking out or speaking up about something, they're not really willing to stick their neck on the line to make things better, because they're worried about getting fired, or they're worried about how you're going to react. And so
sure.
I think having those kind of folks around is really a crucial part of the process for us.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on having that right team around you, and congratulations as well, because you're going to be a dad, Luke. Congratulations. That's amazing. There's like a country daycare or something with so many artists are having babies lately. Are you getting some good advice
from new dads?
I have, man. I've had some people reach out, and one of my best friends from high school, works with me, and he lives here in town, and he's about to have his second here probably. I mean, it could happen today, any day.
All right. Now. Okay.
I talk to him a lot about it too, and So that's good to have.
Absolutely. So do you think that you're going to be the dad that, because you know, some artists, they bring their whole family when you go on tour and things like that.
Probably not at the very beginning, you know, just because it'd be really hard. But my wife comes to almost every show. I enjoy her company and, you know, she's liked being out there up to this point. And obviously that will probably change a little bit with the baby and stuff. Sure. But, you know, I would love to have them out as much as they want to be out, or as much as they can be out. You know, I think that's important. I don't want to be a dad that's not around, or the dad that you see on TV and go, oh, that's my dad. And that's where he is today, I guess, right. You know? Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, family's important to me, and I'd like to be the guy throwing the football to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of football, sports, I know we talked the last time because being from Bristol, Tennessee, we've got our NASCAR track there. I know you're a NASCAR fan and you've been to that track before. You didn't perform there, right? You would just go to
see races.
No, I would just go. Yeah. I did the Daytona 500 last year.
Yes.
And I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again here in a couple of weeks. So that'll be fun.
And you played rugby, right? In college, right? So we've got the Six Nations on at the moment here in the UK. Are you following that at all?
I have. I mean, it's hard to get on TV over here. I mean, that's always something I'd love to. I've always wanted to go to a match over there.
Do you have a UK team at all? Do you follow?
I don't, man. I don't have any allegiance, you know. Right, I just like seeing a good game, man. You know, I think it's, I don't know, it's hard enough to be like, people are like, what's your favorite SEC team? And that's, yes, that's tough. And then like you start picking like which country you want, kind of thing. It's like, that's dangerous territory.
But obviously Super Bowl coming up. Do you follow, I'm assuming you follow American football as well. Do you have a pick there?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It'd be hard to like pick against the Bengals, I think, right now. How good they're playing, but
although the Rams are the favorite on paper, really,
yeah. But I think the Bengals were like, they haven't been the favorite on paper every game of the playoffs,
that's right. That's
so they're true. Almost probably like feeding into that,
yeah. It's got a little bit of the underdog vibe, but at the same time, we know they deliver,
yeah. I'd like to see, I mean, I think I'd like to see Stafford win one.
So Luke, just before I let you go, C2C happening in March, as we talked earlier last time, you were on the lineup. I think it was Kit Moore and Casey Musgraves and Sugarland, I think maybe. And you were on that bill, and now you're coming back, headlining the whole thing. What are you looking forward to getting back to the UK?
We've been looking forward to those shows for so long. Just getting back and headlining that thing, I think, is something that we've been wanting to do for a while now. Obviously, we like going over, man. Looking forward to an English breakfast, I think, will be good.
Oh, yeah, a good fry up.
Love that.
Beans for breakfast doesn't freak you out?
No, man, it doesn't freak me out. I mean, it's not something I do here, but when in Rome, dude, you know what I mean?
Are you going to see your buddy Ed Sheeran when you're back over? Because I think you guys are mates, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's probably got some stuff going on at this point.
He does, but you know, last C2C, he was hanging out backstage the whole weekend.
Yeah, he was, man. But he's, we hung out last time I was there, and like he wasn't on an album cycle at that time. He's one of those guys that's like, when he's doing the thing, it's like, man, I think he's doing like 55 stadiums just in Europe.
Crazy,
and that's
right?
Just like part of the tour,
yeah, with probably just him and his guitar and some loop pedals.
Yeah, it is, man. And so, you know, I'm sure he's got a million things going on. I'm definitely gonna shoot him an email and see if he's around, but he's great, man.
You think you guys would write together? You haven't written together, have you?
Well, we were going to, and then
right,
and then COVID thing kind of screwed our whole plans up on that. But man, maybe one day, hopefully one day.
Okay. And did you give him some sort of, was it he gave you an awful drink or you gave him an awful drink? Do you remember this?
Oh, so both.
Okay. Kind of. What's this?
So I think it was, I think chartreuse was the shot that he gave me.
Okay.
I reciprocated with, it's called Jepson's Malort.
What's
that? You've
never
heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Just pop a Google on it.
Okay. I will.
It's pretty good. If you ever get a chance, if you ever get a chance to get your hands on some, you should get your hands on some.
I have no food issues at all. Like I'll eat everything. I'll drink everything. I'll try. I mean, you know, I grew up in Appalachia. I had squirrel for dinner, you know, many, many times. I have no issues with trying anything, which is why I also love beans for breakfast and black pudding. No issues there. So I'll try your drinks as well. Luke, thank you so much for just taking the time. It's really good to see you again. I can't wait to see you when you make it back over here in March.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate the time.
We play country and we talk country.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Well, there you go. The full unedited interview with Luke Combs from my show on Absolute Radio Country. It was so great to catch up with Luke and just talk about all the exciting things that he has coming up in his life, especially becoming a dad. So thank you for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it. And if you liked what you heard, then please leave us a review and 5 stars. It really does help to get the message out there to other country fans about what we're doing. It makes the world of difference. Oh, and hey, make sure you tell your friends, too, about Absolute Radio Country. We're right there on your digital radio, on the Absolute Radio app, and on your smart speaker right across the UK. Just tell it to play Absolute Radio Country. I'll see you next time, but until then, keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.